of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm your host today, Cameron Collins, and I'm here with my co-host, Nicholas Biella, the at-large and at-large member of the Alliance Council for the Sounders, also one of the, the treasurer for ECS FC.
That's
and
right.
A board member for Pub League, ECS Pub League.
That's right. That's right. All those things and none of those things all at once.
Yes, exactly. Well, we had to jump on here because the Sounders have a match tomorrow.
I'm excited. Are you excited?
I am. I am very excited. We'll get more into that. First, I think you have a beer to open.
I do. That would be a great idea. So let me just kind of crack this up. Especially, there we go. Especially after this weekend. I just flew in last night. I did not sleep last night. So I am.
And boy, are your arms tired.
You're not wrong. Ooh.
That was really a seltzer good. Water. So tell us about your trip.
Yeah, so thank you. We go out to the high up in the Rockies every year for President's Day weekend for pond hockey tournament. They had over 300 teams across multiple divisions. Fantastic time. It's something that I look forward to every year. We are going on 4 tournaments straight without a win.
Too much beer, huh?
All the beer. Well, we are the Seattle Super Chronics. That is the name of the team. It is a weed-based themed team with our kind of like the Seattle Supersonics logo with some cannabis flavor to that. But ultimately, what it really comes down to is we just like bringing good vibes to the tournament. It's just a lot of fun when people go, "Oh, good to see you guys again. We're so excited to play against you. We love when seeing you in there." Just really That's nice. Cool. Yeah. After 10 years of it, there's only a handful of teams that have, consistently been there under the same team name. So it's kind of fun.
Definitely. Interesting that you bring up the Sonics since today we're recording Tuesday, February 18th. And today during his State of the City address, our mayor made a joke that he was going to make an announcement about the Sonics coming back and then was like, just kidding. Like, so yeah.
Read the room. I mean, why?
So dumb.
What made you think that was a good idea? And yeah. I think he's getting rightly roasted right now.
I mean, you heard that crowd response in the video. They were like, "Oh my God, is he announcing something?" And the room started roaring.
Yeah.
And then he was like, "Just kidding."
Yeah, just a strange choice.
Decisions we are made. Of course. Yeah. We're of course coming to you on I guess day one. Some teams played already, but day one of the main games of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. We have, for our viewing pleasure, Colorado playing LAFC right now on. So you'll get our live reaction to any goals there at a match where I guess it was 7 degrees when it started. I just heard from Dan Boniface that it is 2 degrees now at the match. So there's not a lot of people there.
That's going to be one of the coldest games in MLS. I mean, it's not league play.
No, but though. Yeah, it's got to be because that is freezing. Look, and not a lot of people there, but still, oh, look at those people dancing. They're like, we got to stay warm somehow. So fun stuff. Of course, as Sounders fans, we're rooting for Colorado. I suppose you are too.
Yeah, I think so. I have no negative towards them right now. And now I have reason to want Colorado to do well, which I'm sure we'll talk about in just a little bit. Spoiler
Absolutely.
Alert.
Absolutely. We'll have some trade talk and I don't know, anything else non-Sounders related? Because I think we can just jump right into the mailbag, which is all Sounders related stuff, and fly through this short episode since we have a match tomorrow. There'll be less time to listen to it than normal. I will say, before we get too far, join our Discord, join our Patreon. On Discord right now, if you go to the Sounders Scuttlebutt channel, pinned at the top is the CONCACAF YouTube for tomorrow's Sounders match, because it is only available on Fox Soccer Plus, which is not on Xfinity. So if you have cable, you will not get it. You can get it through an add-on on Fubo TV. You can get it through VIX, which is a Spanish language streaming service, or you can find it through Fox Soccer Plus, which is only on a few places. So I can't get that, but CONCACAF has their own YouTubes. So you can watch it there. The current match that we're watching right now is in Spanish. So it'll likely be in Spanish, so brush up on your Spanish. But definitely, that may be the only way that you get to watch the Sounders match tomorrow against Antigua. So head on over, join our Discord for Sounders Scuttlebutt, and look in the Sounders Scuttlebutt channel, because that's where we have the pen. Shout out to Alex Diaz for sharing that with us.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I think it'll be a fun season this year. I have a feeling it's going to be a really good year for us on the Discord side of things. Looking to see how that evolves.
Yeah, it'll be super fun. We've got some cool people in there talking Sounders, and we hope that if you're listening and you're not active in there, you'll come join too, because you can put stuff in the mailbag for us to answer, but B, then your voice is heard, and we're not just hearing one side of things. Everyone has their own opinion, so it's fun. It's fun to get involved and get in the discussion. We're not always involved in all the discussions, especially if it's something that we're sworn to secrecy on from the club. We've signed things, and so we cannot talk about certain things. However, there are things we can talk about once they're public, and I think that's the number one thing that we got. So we will definitely hit that. Just want to make sure that you have nothing else you want to hit before we get to Sounders.
No, but with that in mind, let's definitely make sure that we do talk about reactions to the kit drop. Though, spoiler alert, we're also, after recording this, we are going to record a special Patreon-only episode where we break down all of the kits across all 30 teams. So I believe that is 32 kits in total, because both Inter Miami and San Diego FC have two kits this year. So that'll be a lot of fun. But that is going to be just kind of a benefit to Patreon subscribers to have access to that. And it's also going to be a test for, do you want to kind of give some news on what we're going to test with that?
Yeah,
that
call? It's going to hopefully be our first edition of the show in video, which may or may not be the future. I mean, it will be the future of this podcast, but it's going to take a little time to get it figured out. So we actually record most episodes in video, but maybe aren't the most presentable at times. So
what are you talking about? Are you talking about the state of my room?
And my room and how I'm dressing sometimes. And I mean, I did a bunch of shows last year, topless.
You did, so, actually. That is true. That did happen.
So we will do video, and hopefully that'll be the first one. We know it'll have audio no matter what. So we will be getting these so you can go watch them on YouTube. And I think it should be possible through certain podcasting apps like Pocket Cast, which is the one I use, where you'll be able to watch video, at least the what we're sharing, live on there as well. So without going to YouTube. But either way, I'm excited for us to try that out. And, you know, we're going to join the 2000s with our technology.
I mean, yeah, it's just a matter of giving more options for soccer content. And especially when you've got a year where we've lost some really good soccer podcasts. Just trying to give more content for people. And we're very lucky living in Seattle where we have options.
Yeah, not every city has that. Like I always say, we may not be number one in the charts, but we're number one in your hearts here at Sounders Scuttlebutt.
Hey, I like it. I like it. Go full Casey Kasem. Keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Exactly. So why don't we take a quick break here and play our little Patreon ad and then come right back and get into it.
I like it. Let's do it.
Hey, everybody. This is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, but really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right. We would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month. That'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming. And we're back. That's right. Join our Patreon, as I just told you in the advertisement. And make sure. Oh, look at that. So you hear that little boop. That is our Discord going wild in the background. I know I could probably turn that notification off, but it kind of is a good reminder to anyone listening to join the Discord, because you're hearing the Discord notification as people are asking for questions as we speak. So looks like they are headed into injury time in the first half here. Colorado LAFC 0-0. No real dangerous shots. I mean, a couple nice runs for LAFC, a couple nice runs for Colorado, but nothing too dangerous there.
Which is to be expected with the temperatures and the fact that it's in Colorado. So you got the altitude. And literally, I was in Colorado. I passed by Dick's Sporting Park yesterday, and it was a little chippy, a little cold.
Yeah, I bet. Colorado is 55% possession, but one shot on goal, two shots total to four shots by LFC, two on goal. One offsides for Colorado and one corner for LAFC. So not a lot going on in that match. I think LAFC might be happy getting out of there 0-0. Not that they won't try and score, but I feel like when we get to Sounders Antigua, that's kind of the goal of the first leg, right? You're testing out. You got a new team. You just want to get out of there without giving up a goal.
Yeah, but we have a little bit more of a differential of talent disparity between us and Antigua. But the general thesis is draw on the road, win at home. But you definitely don't want to play with fire.
Absolutely. So what? Why don't we go into the very first thing, which is the question that came in immediately, something that you and I think have been excited to talk about for a while now. There were leaks that we could not comment on. I was super proud, actually, that our jersey, the Salish Sea Kit, did not fully get leaked until, 2 days before it got released? So,
yeah.
I think first.
Let's see.
Doesn't happen very often. Usually it gets released a lot earlier.
Well, last year it was released, the day before. The year before was released day of. We've been pretty good about minimizing.
I mean, but last year FIFA blew it, remember? Or EAFC or whatever, EAFC, when they put it up. So people had seen what it would look like, even though they didn't see actual pictures.
Yeah.
But the Salish Sea Kit, I think we had seen it a few different times, but we hadn't seen the storytelling around it. We knew the basic themes, but we didn't hear it in the people's voices, the women who had actually designed the kit.
Correct. Yeah, three different tribes, three different coastal weavers from three different tribes in the Seattle area worked together and collaborated together to honor the generations of women who do weaving practices. And so it was really nice to see that homage. And I think it was rolled out really well. I am very excited, not just that the high level concept was ambitious, but the actual design is beautiful. And really excited about, in Taylor Graham's words, he often will say when we're having meetings about jerseys, he will often say, especially for the community kit in particular, it's telling a story. It's very story driven. And what is the story that we want to tell? And that is a high level look at what motivates the Sounders. It is about the story. And you're seeing that with the Jimmy kit and the Bruce Lee kit and even previous iterations before them. But I think the Jimmy kit was really the sea change where they really leaned all into the storytelling narratives for sure. Definitely. And I think going forward, that'll be the norm.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
and because there was storytelling around, what was the Black and
Nightfall? Nightfall.
There was storytelling around Nightfall. There was a little bit of storytelling around Pacific Blue. I don't think there was any, I'm forgetting the name of the kit, but my favorite, the Heritage. Black and Neon Green.
Oh, no,
Heritage had it, but the one before that, Black and Neon Green.
That was the Pitch Black.
Pitch Black, that's correct. There wasn't really around that, but we were still with Xbox then, so there was some storytelling around the gaming that Xbox did. Master Chief came to a match.
Yeah.
We had the Halo kit.
But you did touch on it with ever since with the community kits, ever since with starting with the Jimmy kit, the club has been donating usually about $50,000. The first $50,000 of jersey sales goes to some sort of nonprofit. I think with Jimmy, it was a charity involved with the Hendrix Foundation. Mm-hmm. With Bruce Lee, there were similar things with his legacy foundations. And then with this, I believe the
Rape Foundation is working in the schools on the different the reservations.
Burke Museum, the Luke.
Yeah, and the Burke Museum. Yep.
Burke Museum. Thank you. I know that's just something that it's really great to tie it in, but also tie it in so it doesn't feel like an afterthought, to feel very genuine. And that just makes me really happy. So what are your first reactions of, let's start with, how about the introduction video for it, the introducing of the Salish Sea kit?
I loved it. I mean, I think they nailed it. I'm a big fan of productions like that. And it's pretty amazing because considering the guys were in Spain, they had to put that together really fast and get them all in the kit and get it up. And, you know, obviously they had already figured out how they were going to tell that story. But I can tell you from someone who has both been behind the camera, has been behind the sound, and then has been on the computer editing, that is not easy to do in that amount of time. So from a technical standpoint, I feel like they nailed it. It looks beautiful. It represents both our communities and the Native communities. Not saying that they aren't the same, but I mean, our Sounders communities versus, you know, the different tribes. It represents all of them well. And I really liked hearing all three women tell the story in their own voices. I thought that was really important because this is something that is integral to what Seattle is, what our Northwest community is. And, you know, it's part of Washington State history class. I know you didn't grow up here, but either your freshman year of high school or I took it in eighth grade, you have to take Washington State history. And a lot of that does include Native American history. So it's awesome to continue to see that be the case. I was lucky because of at schools I went to, I got extra education and all of that and got to go on field trips. And
yeah, and I similarly grew up in upstate New York. So that is very much the Algonquin and Iroquois, the Seneca Nation. So very.
I mean, honestly, every state, every state in the United States is, if we're being honest.
Well, yes, but there are certain tribes that have held their traditions a little better than others, because in both the Washington and the New York side of things, they, for the most part, stayed in their ancestral territories versus some of these tribes that, you know, your Cherokees and your Seminoles who were migrated states away. Via Trail of Tears or things like that. So it's a little different for us. And, you know, it does create some really interesting history, if history is something that you are a fan of. And that is definitely something I am. But with that said, so I definitely wanted to give a lot of really, I wanted to actually specifically call out. So Connie McLeod from the Puyallup tribe, Gail White Eagle of the Muckleshoot tribe, and then I'm missing her first name. I don't have her first name offhand, and that's really unfortunate. And that is of the Snoqualmie tribe, I believe.
I can we'll pull it up so we make sure that we have her name in there as well. But and there are Danielle Morissette, Danielle, the Suquamish tribe. And I think that's important note, like Chief Sealth, who Seattle's named after, was a leader of the Duwamish and Suquamish people. The Duwamish aren't federally recognized. So
no.
That is an important note, that just because, you know, maybe the tribe that people consider the most Seattle isn't even recognized, and that the Sounders sing about.
Yeah.
The Sounders fan.
And that's really interesting. And we won't get into the politics of why they are or are not or have not gained recognition. There are certainly some interesting politics behind that. But for the most part, This is a great collaboration, which just makes me really happy to see. The colors, I love the color scheme.
Yeah, talk about that, because it's Sporting KC. Oh, it's Vancouver.
Okay, so keep this in mind. These are not away jerseys,
right?
None of these are not.
House of Sounders put a whole thing out about away jerseys, and it really bothered me. I was like, this is not an away kit. Away kits don't exist. This is a community kit. And they said, well, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter for storytelling purposes, and because people keep messing this up. So this is really important.
Yeah. So community kit, and this is something where the Sounders reached out to us on the Alliance Council years ago. This was shortly after the Heritage White. So that was 2019.
Yeah, because that would have been designed 2017.
Yeah.
So it probably was before 2019 even.
Yeah, actually it would have been because
because we're on that 2 year cycle.
Actually, 2019 was actually Nightfall, I believe.
Mm.
So we were asked years ago now, 8 years ago, we were mainly asked, do we want to traditionally have our secondary kit be in our traditional color schemes? Or do we want to treat it like how we had previously been treating our third kit when we were getting third kits for a long time? And keep in mind, Pitch Black was a third kit. The Heritage White, I believe, might have been a third kit officially. But I'm not 100% on that one.
I think that was the first quote unquote community kit before they had a name for it.
Okay. It's sometimes
that was, I believe it's the first year they eliminated third kids.
Well, I know one of the years with the white was also Pacific Blue. So I know there was overlap.
Yeah, so
there,
I think we still had Pacific Blue, if I'm recalling correctly, at that time.
So that might have been the was Pacific Blue the last third kit that we had?
Yeah, that could be. I'm pulling it up right now so I can I can tell you for sure.
So ultimately, and while you're pulling that up, so the point is our feedback to the club was definitely of the nature of take swings. We would rather see unique jerseys for our secondary kits than basically, okay, here's your version of blue, here's your version of that. Not saying you can't use the colors blue or you can't use colors within the Sounders color scheme, but to not be afraid if you only get two kits, be bold. And I think we've seen that with Nightfall, Jimmy, Bruce Lee, and now this. And it's paying off because this is now the third straight time that our secondary kit on jersey launch has been pretty universally top three and has been named, you know, top jersey by multiple sources.
Yeah, I think second straight community kit, it's been number one by the MLS. So yeah, 2017 was the end of Pacific Blue. That was the second year. And that was the first year of the Heritage kit, which replaced the Olympic whites.
Yep.
So we had white kit, and that was also 2018, because we still had the Heritage kit for one more year, where we had Marijuana Flage, which is not its real name. I don't recall its real name. and Heritage. That was the last year of the older scheme in terms of home and away, because now it's home kit light, or first kit light, secondary kit dark. And that didn't exist in 2018. 2019 is when that implemented, which was the start of the quote unquote community kit, even though it didn't have that name, which was Nightfall. So, which is why our secondary jersey will always be dark, which is why we had to wear it a lot last year. Because if we're on the road and somebody chooses a light color, we have to wear a dark. Or if they choose a color that's too similar to our green, even at home, we could switch to the other one. I mean, there was a bunch of instances where, like, we couldn't wear green and having the Timbers wear green at the same time. It just looks too weird.
I think last year, neither team could wear green either any of the games.
Yeah. So they, I think they're working on, I heard there was some TV tests going on. So we'll see what happens moving forward. So it started right there with, we haven't had a third kit since 2017. And so we've said, be bold. And the first was that
Nightfall.
2019, 2020, and then we got Jimmy, and then Bruce Lee, and now we have Sailor Lee.
Yeah, and so ultimately, it's just really fascinating. And to give people context, the kit just launched last week. The club is already putting together stories and pitching story ideas for the jersey that will eventually replace this kit. So that's how far advanced these things are done. Yeah. So next year's home kit is already largely completed.
Yep.
So that's,
and there's always storytelling around that too.
Yeah.
But it's a little different than the community kit. So the community kit is meant to tie directly back into the Sounders community, the Northwest community, just stuff that's happened around us.
And when we eventually talk about all the other kits around the league, you'll notice that not every club makes the deliberate decisions to treat their secondary kits in this manner.
Yeah, I think it's a missed opportunity.
You're seeing a lot of homogeny and a lot of, oh, it's a white t-shirt. Okay, great. It's basically that template. And you just don't get that with this kit. And I'm very, very pleased about that.
Speaking of LAFC walking back onto the field with their community kit on, which is just a white t-shirt with gold accents.
well, you know what? That's the thing though, is not every club uses community kit.
Right.
They will use secondary kit.
Right. But that technically the league is moved away from that, but that's still what they're doing, because they don't want to tell a story. And I don't know why that is. But we'll get more into that in the next episode.
Well, wait. Not only do they not want to tell a story, that is the one kit out of all 32 kits that literally has no name. It's literally just LAFC secondary kit. It doesn't have the Salish Sea kit, the Heartbeat kit, the secondary, the Fortress kit. No, it's just...
I mean, it is just a template kit. It's like a template t-shirt, so it makes sense, I suppose.
You get what you deserve, I guess.
Oh, so where do you rate this on the Sounders kits of all time? Where is this on your list?
If I'm being completely honest, this might be the best 1-2 combination we've got. I'm not saying they're the best two jerseys we've had, but this is a really good 1-2 punch. The stripes on the Heritage kit are beautiful. I particularly love the jock tag, the water is sacred.
Which is another reason why it's blue.
Yeah. And that's in England, in English, and the Southern Lushootseed, which is the accustomed language of Squamish, Muckleshoot, Puyallup, and Coast Salish tribes.
Yeah, a bunch of the Coast Salish tribes.
So it's just really, really fascinating. And those of you that are often going to games at Lumen will see some of that language as well on some of the signage around Lumen Field as well. And so it's just, I think it's just another step in the right direction, especially when that's a history that oftentimes people try to erase. And so, it's just beautiful. I'm a big fan of it.
Me too. I love it. It's definitely just that this single kit is in my top five. I want to see it on the field before I actually put it anywhere. My guess is I will have it as third most favorite of all time. But whoa, I think Colorado just drew a penalty. We'll find out.
I think so.
They're going to have to go to VAR, because I don't think they called that on the field. Oh, they did.
They did.
Okay, let's go Colorado. But yeah, I think this is going to be a top five kit. I mean, I know it's a top five kit, and I think it's one of my favorites, not just the storytelling, the colors, everything about it. You know, we get a lot of insight, and we'll talk more about it on the Patreon episode, but we get to have a lot of insight into how the jerseys get made and the process and the players involved. And this is a home run for me. So,
I'm very curious to see what kind of international look that it may or may not get. Because it's not a template, because it is a unique thing. I am curious to see if it gets some buzz there. Obviously Jimmy was an easy one. Bruce Lee, both those are worldwide global icons. So maybe it won't get the same kind of vibe, but just kind of fun to see.
Because MLS is such a driver in terms of conversations right now, that I could easily see them trying to get a lot of U.S. clicks. Because if you think about the size of our country and the way MLS is blowing up, that's definitely something that they would be into getting into. So,
in all honesty, though, these are two beautiful kits to showcase ourselves to the world. So no matter how we line up for Club World Cup, pretty happy with that. And Colorado.
Yeah. Mihailovic. That's what's up, Colorado. 48th minute.
49th minute.
Yeah, just before the 49th, maybe. I think it was like 47:59. So 1-0.
So speaking of Colorado, this is a good segue.
Yeah.
Good segue. So word came out over the weekend that the Colorado Rapids traded for Josh Atencio. What was your initial reaction to this? And before we up to $1.6 million in general allocation money.
Yeah, 1.3 guaranteed.
1.3 guaranteed. Now, keep in mind that they are allowed to trade for cash, but if they trade for cash, only certain amounts could theoretically be using. It wouldn't really affect.
And you could only do two trades like that for the whole season.
Yeah.
So you're really hamstringing yourself of potential future moves if you made that move now.
Exactly. So I like the trade for GAM because essentially my thought is that you're essentially getting 1.3 million for a deep bench player. And I really like Josh Atencio, but I just don't see how he was going to get more than seven starts with this lineup that we have.
He had his chance last year, and obviously the Sounders thought he was going to take it. They made him number eight.
Yeah.
They thought, okay, here's his chance
at the wrong time.
Yeah, play maybe overtake Obed because he was older, because he developed so much the previous year. And instead, he seemed to take a step back. I mean, there was a few matches, and I don't want to be too critical of him because he wasn't getting the playing time, but there was a few matches where he subbed on late, and some of his mistakes led, like the San Jose match that cost us the Heritage Cup, led to a goal. Now, maybe other people were out of position. Maybe there's lots of, it wasn't just his fault that we didn't win that game. But that was just an example of he came on and then couldn't hold off the opposing team.
And if you're not getting that rhythm.
Right. And so, it's amazing how much something happened where he was no longer developing to the point where we're so deep at center defensive mid with Christian moving back to that position where he was so good in the past prior to the last World Cup that you weren't going to see him get minutes there, which is why they were moving him to center back. But listening to Schmetzer today or yesterday, whenever it was, talk about it, I think that they had such a Stuart Hawkins definitely making the club and Kim Keehee coming in, they felt like they had an offer they couldn't refuse because they had turned down other offers.
Yeah. Keep in mind, Atencio is still getting U.S. men's national team looks. He was on the Summer Olympics roster. He has Club World Cup experience. He is very, very talented still. He's only 23 years old. I think a key example of that is the fact that part of the transaction is that Seattle retained a percentage of future transfer fee.
Yeah, there's a sell-on clause. So.
Exactly, and that tells you in a nutshell kind of what we're saying right there is that he still has tremendous potential value. And right now, this 1.3 to 1.6 million, there's definitely a few worlds in which we can get even more because I can see Atencio moving on outside of the league. I could see that really happening. If we were getting good money for Henry Wingo to go over to Europe, Sam Rogers, who's now back with Chicago. Yeah. I think Atencio is a better player than both of them.
Yeah, much higher ceiling in retrospect. I think Sam Rogers maybe had the highest ceiling of all those players, but then stopped developing altogether. I think there's still plenty of time.
He was playing in Champions League, and so he was so was Henry Wingo, actually. So, yeah.
Although Wingo, I think, was early enough in time that the MLS was not the quality that it is now. I don't think Henry Wingo would be making a roster today in MLS Cup or in MLS the same way. If he did, he'd be near the bottom of the roster. But absolutely, I think the other really important thing to think about is the Sounders now have no U-22 players.
Because that's
right. They moved on from him. They moved on from Leo Chu, which means not only do we have we have cap space, that quite a bit of cap space that opened up. We have GAM.
Now, keep in mind, we don't have 1.3 million. Nope. We have 650,000 this year. The other 650 will come next year.
But just plus freeing up his 250 against the cap.
Yeah.
Which brings us up to 850. And so, but it still gives us the opportunity to bring in a U-22, Colorado. No,
they're attacking. Yes.
Oh, did it go in? No. Oh my God. That was the craziest thing I've ever seen. I would not have interrupted our thoughts just for that, but that was wild bouncing around in the box.
But yeah, so you're absolutely right. Now I do expect to see, us utilizing one of those three spots for a Leyva,
I don't know. Leyva has to earn it, I think, still. Obed for sure.
Oh, no. But the point is right now, if you designate that as a U-22, that takes that whole salary off of the books. There's no reason not to. It's kind of the way we would use Ozzy as just a transactional DP for a bit. And there's no penalty.
But I don't know if Leyva, I don't know what Leyva's contract is, but I don't think it's that high. I think there has been talk in the press conferences, a couple things about bringing in Snyder Brunell still, who is, wowing the team. I don't know if he would need to be a U-22 yet. He could just be a homegrown.
I think he would be under the homegrown cap. I would think.
Yeah. Potentially depending on how good he has been, which I don't know the answer to that. And there's also been talk in the press conferences that we've seen from Craig that the bringing in an outside U-22 is a very real possibility leading into this summer.
And I think that's a realistic thing because we do not, even though we have three U-22 slots, we do not have the cap space for three U-22 players. They're two separate things.
If we brought them all internally, we could. But because we wouldn't have to pay
transfer fees. Yeah, transfer fees. Now, but that does mean theoretically, and this might happen, this is something the Sounders have not done a lot of, is loans are not transfer fees. So we could theoretically, if you're a European team, you've got a player that's maybe a loan candidate and they have a chance to compete on the Club World Cup stage, maybe. That is a potential that could. Yeah. And I know nothing about any rumors or anything. Yeah. I'm just talking about possibilities here, and I'm not even entirely sure how that works. So I'm not even entirely sure if I understand that correctly. So please don't hold that to me.
Now we are currently the three designated player model with three U-22s. Now that we have zero, that potentially could change. We can change that this summer. I think I believe the date's already passed, but it could be this coming week that we have to declare that. But either way, because it may be when the roster freezes. But anyway, either way, we could change that at some point and bring in another DP. Should it be possible through a loan scenario like you're talking about?
It couldn't be a senior DP. It would have to be a U-22.
Can't you do four and two?
I believe it's the other way
around.
Oh,
you're right. It's the other way around. Four and two. Yeah, you can do four U-22s. Correct.
Yes. So we're locked into the 3-3 model.
Yeah, which is interesting because Pedro was a youth designated player when that existed. Those don't exist anymore, so he just counts as a regular DP.
Correct.
I wonder if he believes in himself enough that they could rework that contract some way. That'd be cool. But either way, yeah. So we could bring in three U-22s in theory. I would guess one internal and one external at this point, this season. But who knows what'll happen. I'd love to see an impact player come in and try to make a difference. But you're not bringing in a U-22 that's not pushing for minutes when it comes down to it.
So I
don't think Snyder Brunell would need to. I think he would join our other homegrown players who, of course, are Obed, Cody Baker, Reed Baker Whiting, Jacob Castro, and Stuart Hawkins. I think he would join that task. And it looks like we actually have one, two, three TAM players in, I guess four if you count Ferreira. He's got to be under a TAM contract, I would imagine. But Areola, Yamar, Christian, and then Jordan, of course, moved up to a DP from Tam.
Yeah, I think you have that correct. And the thing is, though, for the U22s, if they're not making, I think it's about 250,000, somewhere around there is that level. If they're not making over that, then you don't gain an advantage,
right,
to putting them on that contract. Like, for example, Leo Chu was making 550,000, and that's why using him as a U22 made a lot of sense.
Josh was making 350, so
that's why he was a U22, because he was there.
Danny's making 235, so that doesn't really make sense for him either. And then Reed is making only 100. Cody's making 89.7.
Well,
Castro, they're all making the same, except for Stewart's only making 70,000. Poor guy.
Yeah, right now, as far as our U22 players, this is as of last fall's roster release. Georgie's making 89,000. Yeah. Josh Atencio obviously is gone. Cody Baker's making 89,000. Danny Leyva's making 235,000. So he's probably someone who would be a target for that.
It's 250, isn't it? So it
depends on how it might be. There might be some budget relief, especially if bonuses are involved. And I don't know what that was last season.
But his next year, it looks like his contract is even, though. So he's not backloaded or anything, which I don't even know if you can do in MLS. But his contract next year is also 235. So,
but the reality is, you may see Sounders give a early.
I mean, Reed Baker Whiting is in the last year of his contract. Paul Rothrock is in the last year of his contract. You could see those players.
He's over 22. He's 25. So.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. He just came in young, but Reed, they could sign into a U22 in order to lengthen that contract, because they would have to pay him more than his current 100,000.
And we can extend Obed, who's on 89,000. So I wouldn't be surprised to see us doing Obed a solid by raising his wage,
because he's also in the last year of his contract. Yeah. So I would expect Obed for sure, U22. And then maybe Reed, depending on how he develops this year and how much time he's getting, because he is kind of a utility knife right now, but we have so many players on our roster now in those positions that it's going to be a lot harder for him to see minutes. The one good thing for players like that, and for Danny as well, is I think we have so many tournaments that it gives them a chance to get more minutes as well.
Well, keep in mind that Reed Baker Whiting was also on some lists for, you know, some of the top.
He was in the top under 22 players under 22 in MLS.
Yeah, but unfortunately, he's got a little bit of a run where he just can't get healthy, and it's so hopefully he can get that.
I don't see that though as a real concern. I mean, he did get hurt at the end of the season and he came out with a little nick in preseason, but unless he consistently, that still happens, I'm not worried about that, just because it wasn't like he didn't recover from his injury or it's the same injury. I feel the same way about Pedro de la Vega, right? Like, his injury that we had with him for was unrelated. I do think they brought him back too quick, but was unrelated to his previous knee injury. So,
oh no, but you still need playing time. You need consistency. Right. That's where I'm more concerned, is just on that level. Not that he's injury prone per se, because I don't think I don't get the sense that these are those kind of injuries. I just get a sense that it's just a rough run and it could stunt his progress.
Sure, of course. So we got about 10 minutes left in the show, a little longer maybe, but let's switch over to CONCACAF Champions Cup, a name that, of course, I have said I hate. It doesn't make sense to me to change it away from the branding that you have in Europe when CCL. Everyone knows Champions League.
CCL, my friend.
CCC just sounds weird. The only I like CJC because that's me, but no CCC here.
Yeah.
What do you think our chances are? Can we make a run? Is it realistic? Yeah.
I do.
It could be a tough run, but what do you think?
Again, we've got depth. depth is going to be a huge, that's a huge part of this story. You know, look back when we won Champions League in 2022, we would have midweek games going on. The Champions League games were often the midweek games. Then the weekend games, we'd be putting in, you know, our teenagers, that Austin game with all five teenagers, the teenagers and Raul, that was due to Champions League. Having this kind of roster flexibility, and the beautiful part about it is not just the fact that we have the roster flexibility, but the tactical flexibility. I think that's even more important, because there will be times where we're going to want to bunker. There are going to be times where, you know, Paul Areola will be a great option to start a game, whether it's the Champions League or the league's play. It gives us a better opportunity to get points more consistently. So I'm very, very excited about that. And our draw is not going to be easy. And I see you've got it. We're gonna play Cruz Azul if we advance.
Yes,
they've already beaten Real Hope.
Yeah.
And
then if we advance past that, we play the winner of Chivas Guadalajara in America.
Yep.
And then we would have to play the winner of Galaxy versus the winner of Tigres. And then either Montreal or Cincinnati.
Well, the thing we remember is the fact that this is largely a group who have extensive Champions League experience. And these are the kind of games that, oh, for love it or hate it, the dark arts always come into play. I mean, I think back to that New York City FC series, and NYCFC just was not prepared for.
It's Motagua, not Montreal. Motagua.
Oh, Motagua.
I apologize for that. Yep.
We have just as good of an opportunity, because as any of the other MLS teams.
I think so. I mean, the winner of LAFC Colorado will go on to play Columbus, and they're going to have to deal with Cavalry versus either Miami or SKC winner. And then, of course, Monterrey's already gone through, the perennial winner from Mexico, and they'll play the winner of Vancouver Saprissa. And I actually don't even know who LDA is. And they're playing Pumas. So, and then of course, let's not forget the Galaxy is in our bracket versus RSL. They play the winner of RSL versus, I don't even know who CSH is too. There's some of these teams.
LDA is Alajuelense.
Oh, Herediano, Salt Lake's playing. Who's LDA?
Alajuelense, Costa Rica.
Yeah, yeah.
So they
had the auto bid.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fun run here. I do think we can make a run, but there's not a lot of room for error, right? So we're going to have to play our starters like we did last time, and then maybe it's going to hurt us in MLS play.
I'm okay with that. To trade up, I will take. So as of right now, Cruz Azul has moved on. As you said, Monterrey has moved on. Pumas, they did officially move on. Yeah, they did. Yep. Because they lost their first game, so it was still in doubt. So it was pretty interesting there. So can't wait. I love it. I love it. And
yeah, it's gonna be fun. I mean, week from today, right?
Yeah. Will be tomorrow. The home match.
Tomorrow is the official match. So we, of course, are playing Antigua. What do you know about them?
You know, when I think of Antigua, I think coffee. So
really?
Yeah. I mean, it's Guatemala. The Antigua region is very known for their coffee for sure. I'm a little bit of a coffee geek. But
Their stadium holds 9,000 people. That's the stadium we're going into. It's a stadium that holds 9,000 people.
This is their second run at Champions League. So good for them. But I don't know much about them at all. I feel like we should be able to go to Guatemala and control possession depending on what the field conditions are like. I think we'll dictate a lot of whether we go, how aggressive we go, especially with it being the first game of the year. I think trusting your squad to, because the inverse will be true as well. Guatemala is going to have to travel to Seattle.
Yeah.
And our roster is designed in such a way where we have a lot of players who have played all over, even just the MLS players. There's such, the U.S. is such a vast landscape that just by natural there, you have a lot of things to be familiar with. I am not entirely sure. I suspect a lot of the Guatemala roster is local Guatemalan talent.
They only have 5 or 6 foreigners on their team.
Yeah, a Costa Rican defender, a Venezuelan defender, Argentinian defender, Argentinian midfield. Everyone else is Guatemala. Argentinian midfield, Romario from Brazil. I don't know if it's that Romario. 34 years old, so yeah, it might be actually.
Yeah, I mean, it is a Romario, but it's not the – is Romario de Souza too, but not the Romario.
Okay, no. Yep,
he's from Red Bull Salzburg Juniors, who went on to play all over Brazil, including Fluminense, but not the big guy.
Okay, not that one. So really,
does not have any national team appearances.
So everyone on their roster is either from Guatemala, Argentina, or Brazil. So coming up to travel,
they're second right now in their league. So they're playing well, but yeah, they're going to have to travel up here. Sounders let us know that Christian Hernandez is their attacking midfielder. He's the focal point of the team. So he's who's to watch out for. Juan Apaolaza was their big winter signing coming out of Venezuela. And Jose Ardon is their big defender who's played 15,000 minutes in his career. So that's who to watch out for sure. I think it should be an interesting match, but I agree. Their highest valued player would be near the middle of our roster in terms of value.
Yeah. So we'll see what's going to happen. I just want to get out of Guatemala healthy. And I would take a 1-goal loss, but healthy, over a win and any kind of significant injury, anything that would miss more than 1 or 2 games.
Right. And usually we wouldn't even talk about that, but we did have Jordan Morris
in Santa Tech.
Himself back. Who was that against? Saprissa?
Santa Tecla, I believe.
Santa Tecla. That's right. Our old nemesis Saprissa, who is in the tournament this year.
For me, it's Olympia. It's always Olympia.
Oh, Olympia also. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But man, that roster had Albert Elise on it. It had Kyoto on it, Romel Kyoto. I mean, that was a really good Olympia roster.
That's always a player that I think is Japanese because I didn't realize how it was spelled. So I thought it was Kyoto, like the city in Japan. Even when he played for Houston?
Yeah, he was the DP for Houston. Actually, I think both of them were DPs for Houston. I think both Elise and Kyoto were, yeah.
Yeah. And then that was the match where Brad Evans hit the penalty at the end and taunted the goalkeeper, right?
Yeah, but keep in mind, you make it sound like he taunted the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper was trying to get in his head.
Yeah, goalkeeper deserved
6 minutes. Yeah, that is my rule number one for Sounders games of why you never leave a game early. that game right there.
Yeah.
That was frustrating because Elise scored in the 8th minute, if I recall correctly. And then Olympia just went full dark arts and just faked injuries. And, oh, that was such a frustrating game with such a beautiful, beautiful karmic ending.
Yeah, I took the woman I was seeing at the time who had been to Sounders matches before, but that was like a really great one to take because I think it got her hooked.
Yeah.
Now, we have a few minutes left here. I want to ask one more from the mailbag. Also noting we have other questions in the mailbag that we will get to because we do plan on recording another episode before the home opener this weekend. So this might be a 2-episode week for you if you're not a Patreon member, 3 if you are. This is a question that I think we're in a good position to answer, which is T-Mobile users getting free MLS Pass for the season. Does that mean that not enough people are subscribing to Season Pass? Or is this a great move from Apple to get more eyes on the league leading up to Club World Cup and World Cup 2026? This is not the first year they've done that. Last year, you did not get it through T-Mobile, but the previous year you did.
Correct. Correct. And before that, whatever the product was before Apple took over, I think MLS Season Pass.
Yeah.
That was also, this is not unusual.
Yeah. It's something that they offer as a member benefit.
Exactly. T-Mobile will have, free Hulu, free ESPN. So this doesn't necessarily speak towards any warning signs of the Apple TV deal and the numbers.
I get both Hulu and Apple TV free through T-Mobile and not, I guess not MLS Cup since we got it through our season tickets. Also, I believe Xfinity, someone else is giving it out for free as well. I think I will eventually end up with 3 codes.
I think what are they doing? Xfinity is doing something different. I don't think it's
one of the other ones that I am a part of. It will have codes though, because I read there was 3 different places that I got.
And so, hey, you're all Sounders fans. You're all geeks. If you have access to multiple codes, get the codes and give them to your friends. Give them to come on into Discord and go, hey, who needs a code? You know, look out for each other. You know,
I know my 2nd code is going to my parents, and the 3rd will probably go to Mr. Scuttlebutt himself, Aaron Lingley, who I believe made it to San Diego. We haven't heard an update since they were snowed into Portland.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's in warm, sunny San Diego just in time for the San Diego FC season to start.
A little jealous. I could use some warm weather, I'll tell you.
They subbed on Ebobasi for LAFC. To be able to sub him on for Giroud is such a
flex.
Crazy. Yeah. Like, it's like when they had Latif Blessing as a sub. It's just wild.
But at the same time, I mean, we're in that position.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to bring on Paul Areola as a super sub. There are going to be days where probably one of Jordan. Yeah. What she said. Yeah. There are going to be days in which we are probably going to sub on in the 65th minute, one of Jordan Morris, Jesus Ferreira, or Pedro de la Vega, because there may be times where formation may not call for all 3 to play.
Did you see the lineup the Sounder at Heart predicted for the first 2 matches?
I did. What did you think about that?
I thought it was interesting because it wasn't a traditional, even when we went 5 at the back, the way we did it in the past, because it essentially was 5 at the back, or however you want to put it, but we'll say 5 at the back because you have 3 center backs, the 2 wing backs, but it had 2 center defensive mids and 2 center attacking mids. And then, of course, Jordan up top for that first match, which means you could potentially have Pedro and Jesus Ferreira playing right behind Jordan, which would be a fascinating thing to have, which means those wingers are going to have to really track forward and track back if that's going to be the case. Otherwise, we're playing a whole new ballgame. We're not going into the wings like we used to.
Well, you're absolutely right. But the other thing to keep in mind, though, is is, well, one, Albert Rusnak will travel to Guatemala.
He's on the plane.
I don't anticipate he'll play. But what's really interesting to me is with this lineup flexibility is that I know we have had one of the best defenses in the league over the last, you know, basically since Schmetzer's been a coach, really. Yeah. But in particular, we've been top three the last few years. I expect to let in a few more goals, not because our defense is going to get worse, but I think we're going to prioritize attacking play. And when you look at, you know, how we are looking in the preseason, looking at our attacking options, that's exactly what we may be. And I know I'm already cringing at, I bet you can guess where I'm going with this. I'm already cringing at you attacking New Who, because I know there are going to be times. Oh my God, did Colorado just pop a second? They did.
It's Mihailovic
on the free kick.
No, see, New Who playing center back is what I'm into. Like, if you put him at center back, he can't travel up that far. And that's going to make our defense even stronger, in my opinion. Like
not
I said,
that attitude, he can't.
New Who is one of the best defenders in the league when he's playing defense. So put him back there. It makes our defense stronger and potentially even better. What a beautiful free kick.
And I mean,
boy.
I mean, you're beating Hugo Lloris on a free kick. That's just, oof. That couldn't have happened to a better team. Now, Colorado just needs to hold this lead. You cannot let LAFC pull one back. You got to take that lead. Got to hold on to it. Question.
So yeah, I think our defense will be strong. I think it'll just depend if they get enough help.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you'll need it versus a Bwanga or, you know, some of these other Gabriel Peck type players that can just run all over us.
And so we'll see, you know, we'll see how that goes. Can be really, really interesting. I love that flexibility that we've got, and I'm very curious to see if we can continue that really nice run of offense in the preseason.
It looked good. I love Pedro just looking. I mean, you weren't able to attend last Wednesday, were you?
No, I was leaving the day before, and Roma was not feeling great, so I was not able to make it.
So we did go down, and I posted some pictures and Jerry live stream from Alliance Council. And so I put that up for all of our Discord members to see. Pedro was unbelievable. He looked even better than he had in the past. Fully fit, wanted the ball. He's not feeling pressure in the sense that it's too much for him. He's feeling pressure in the sense that he's going to go out there and perform because he has no other choice. And it's incredible. I fully expect him to be the star player this year.
But when you've got, when you've got De La Vega, Jesus, Morris, all on the field at the same time, that's pretty damn good. But that's definitely some dangers, and it's dangerous in different ways. So, and that's not even talking about Rusnak, you know, it's not even talking about Paul Rothrock, Manungu, you know, it gives us so many different ways we can attack. And that's what I'm most excited to see is just how that shapes out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's a good place to leave it for this episode, don't you?
I do. So any predictions? What are we going to see tomorrow?
Two things.
Let me frame that a little differently. One, do you think we're going to see a 3-5-2 or a 4-2-3-1?
3-5-2. No, 3-6-1. However you want to put it. We're going to have five at the back. We're going to have three center backs, two wing backs. And then I don't know how they'll do the midfield. I think we'll have two center defensive mids. I could see us having right mid and left mid, despite having those wing backs and letting them overlap.
Yeah.
Like we would if we had four at the back, but I could also see that not happening, but I do expect us to have five defenders in the match.
Okay. And then what's your final score?
I'm going to say 1-0 Sounders. I think we can pull out a goal. And then I think if we do, we won't necessarily need to push anymore after that. So we can slow it down a bit and focus on not giving up a goal.
So do you think Antigua will be happy with just one, being down 1-0, or do you think they're going to try and push it home and that'll open up a counter and make it too?
I think it could. I don't know if we'll take advantage of it, because I think Schmetzer will be risk adverse so early in the season, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We definitely could get that second goal and go for two. I would just hope that we come out of there for our fans' sake, especially our Discord's sake. I hope we come out of there with at least one goal, because even though I think you and I would both be happy with a 0-0 draw, I think there's people that would be upset with that, despite it being actually a good result.
Data analytics, it's one of my favorite things. And going outside of the region to play a game is such a challenge in and of itself, that if you're not allowing any goals and getting out of there with a point, that puts the ball in your court, literally.
Yep, absolutely. So what are you thinking?
I'm not going to lie. I think this team's got some swagger right now.
Yeah.
And I think they're excited to showcase that. And I got a feeling they're going to cook a little bit.
I
think this might be a 3-0, or if Antigua gets one, it'll be kind of a weird circumstance. But I have a feeling that the scoreline's not going to reflect the disparity on the actual field. I think we're going to comfortably win, but I think it's also going to be one where we're going, oh, we could have had another 2-3 goals.
Yeah, I do think if we win 3-0, we potentially could see the same starters on the weekend, since it's the start of the season. And then so we actually play well in the MLS match and then put in more of our quote unquote backups, some of them also starters, in the match next Wednesday, because we won't need as many goals.
I said it last week, man. This year, as long as we can stay a little bit healthy, is going to be really interesting to see. This is going to be the year in which we could see a very demonstrable, that's a decision Brian Schmetzer is making. Because
LAFC just pulled one back.
And of course he did. Of course he did. Aaron Long.
Former Sounder. late goal. Oh, off of Buonga. Cross.
Oh, that may be offside.
Yeah.
We'll see. Be coming back.
We'll see. It's close either way. Definitely shout out to Alex Diaz, to Tim Hamilton / Muffin Top Model, to Cedar, and everyone else that got questions in our scuttlebutt. You can hear people commenting on that goal right there. Yeah, it looks like there's no VAR in is that right? Do we remember correctly?
I know League's Cup did not. Or was that CC?
They're holding it right now, though, so they haven't kicked it off. So potentially they are looking at it right now.
I think the question is going to be, was he interfering with the vision of the goalkeeper, which I think he is. He's right
in front of him. He is, and the defender, too. Yeah. Yeah, that's offsides, I think, in my opinion. I don't know if they'll call it. I don't know what he's calling. He gave him the goal.
Okay. Okay. Well, I got no skin in the game. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't we call it do we have anything else in the mailbag we want to touch base on this episode?
I think we'll call it there and get on to recording our Patreon-only episode. Where can they find you on the internet?
Hey, come on out to Instagram at Cascades2C. Cascades2C on Instagram. I don't really use Twitter much anymore, but it is Nikita Banana. And what about you?
Yeah, you can get me at Legal Minded Punk on all of them.
There you go. And Aaron at Aaron Lingley. So we'll get Aaron a little shout out there.
Yeah, he's doing well down there in San Diego.
All right. Well, everyone, welcome to the regular season. Welcome to the season, I guess I should say. We're here. It's tomorrow. Let's do this. 24 hours from now, we're going to have a result.
Yep, that's true. It's okay, James. Take it away.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVox US. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.